And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can also go to our own calendar when you're on the website. If you want to listen to the show again, you can download it after it's aired by going to www.nagb.org.bs. And then you go to the Learn menu and you scroll down to Blank Canvas and you can see like a little picture of who's been on the show. And you can listen to it again if you miss part of it or want to listen to it again. And while you're there on the website, I always encourage people to go to the calendar because we have so many activities at the National Art Gallery, many of which are free. Some are not. Some are paid, depending on what it is. But like, we have a monthly free movie screening, Under the Stars. It's lovely. It's a great program. We have lectures. We have kind of workshops, all kinds of things. And in fact, Tessa is going to be doing a workshop too. So you can check all of the details out about that on the calendar. Tessa is a painter and sculptor who I have in the studio with me tonight, Tessa Whitehead, born and raised in the Bahamas. And she's opening up her first like major solo show at the NAGB, which is in the ballroom. How many paintings are in that show, Tessa?
I think 15.
15. So it's a pretty big show. There are oil paintings. And Tessa is actually going to be giving a workshop on oil painting in June. I think June 22nd. Normally it's 10 to 1, I think, or 10 to 2. So go check out the details on the website. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. You want to teach people how to, because oil painting seems to be... So, first of all, tell me, why did you get into oil painting? Because there's the different possibilities of when you're a painter. There's watercolor, there's acrylic, there's oil. What is it about oil that appealed to you, and why do you persist with that?
I think that oil has the kind of most natural feeling to me. And what I mean natural, I don't know. It's the kind of the most muddy. It feels like it moves around in the most kind of elemental way for me. It's very like fussy, which I kind of like. And if you get certain pigments, they can be very earthy, which is the kind of palette that I look for. And once I kind of got the sense of how it kind of went onto the canvas, I kind of just loved that. It had so much personality, and I keep coming back to it. It irritates me so much, but I sort of keep coming back to it. I think because it has so much complexity to it. Mm-hmm. But I one of the things we talked about yesterday about the workshop was it's a funny medium, right? Because it's very European. It doesn't, and of course our art history doesn't have anything to do with European art history. We're not kind of looking towards like oil paintings as a way to describe our landscape and our space, which I think I'm really aware of. And one of the reasons why I think people struggle to use it here, if they want to, is because it can feel like an expensive thing to get into. It feels like it's expensive to buy the oil paints, and that there's all these kind of chemicals to go along with it, and they're not so easily accessible here. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the workshop. But another reason is because, our art history doesn't really connect us to oil paint.
And yeah, so it's not kind really, of a funny but it's, medium but it's interesting to use. How, I mean, that's what we talk about that at the gallery a lot when giving tours to people, because conversely, and I think some of the artists use oil, many use acrylic. We have taken landscape painting to be like somehow this icon of our cultural output when you think of people like, you know, Alton Lowe and Eddie Minnis and Chan Pratt, who is also opening a show same night as you. He's now deceased, but we have collected, I think, 95 works, and that will be beautiful. And this kind of idealized or ideal landscape painting is very much kind of part of our vernacular.
Yeah.
And when people push against other kinds of art that we show at the National Art Gallery that are often maybe like a little bit more abstract or use materials differently, they're like, oh, is that really Bahamian? I'm like, well, yeah, actually it is, because landscape painting is a European tradition.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Dutch, and then by way of Italy and then by way of England and then by way of the Bahamas. But it's not something that was practiced in Africa. So the kind of this use of material in a different way and kind of combining
Absolutely.
Things on the canvas and kind of creating sculptural things that sort of are a little bit more complicated and mixed media to me, are this kind of marriage between an African vocabulary and a European vocabulary. So it's absolutely sort of interesting that sort of both of those things exist. You know what I mean? Like, oil painting isn't really natural, but at the same time, paintings of landscape have become very iconic.
Absolutely. And I also, yeah, and I also think for me, because I was in the Bahamian school system, which by the time I was in school, we had BJCs and BGCSEs. Mm-hmm. But just recently had come out of the A level and O levels. And mm-hmm. So I think,
which I did. I'm that old.
Yeah. Yeah. And following, I think, a similar, I mean, I don't think they had been very, I don't know what it's like now, but when I was in school, the history that they were teaching in terms of art history was still European.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And there was like that really funny moment of just seeing these artworks and thinking, God, I have no idea how to relate to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still don't really. And I think then when I went to university in the UK, which again sort of was about this narrative that we have in the Caribbean that, okay, you're going to go and get educated away. That sort right. of is the right thing to do,
right?
Which in itself is kind of an odd part to our narrative.
Very odd.
I really didn't understand how to relate and situate myself in that artwork. And I think, like, I still use a lot of those methodologies in the painting as a kind of way to understand it and yeah. just to be like, okay, what is this? Or mm-hmm. to sort of flex my muscles in it and sort of say, well, maybe I could own this. Mm-hmm. So like there's a lot of draping in the paintings, which is a really, it's a really Dutch. Well, it's also the way I paint it is a kind of Dutch use of paint.
It looks very Dutch to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. It's like a Baroque use of paint.
Yeah.
And it's a real flexing of muscles at that time. It mm-hmm. was like, look, I can paint draping.
Yeah, exactly. I can paint something diaphanous.
And yeah.
And
it sort of like indicates all these things. It indicates wealth. It
value.
Because yeah. of course, at the time, fabric would have been, textiles would have been coming from different parts of the world and being dyed in another part of the world. And it all indicated these different things. And now, of course, fabrics are not that like that. But I love that. I loved the idea of looking at those paintings and kind of having this key into a world which I really had no idea about. I mean, someone's telling me about a fabric that comes from India along the
spiced route or
the
something.
The spiced route. And then they're like, and then it comes here and it goes there. And then they're using a camera obscura.
And it gets dyed. And yeah.
And,
sure.
And I kind of know them by reading about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But and I love to kind of play with that, but use a landscape that I'm familiar with, which mm-hmm. is a Caribbean, literal mm-hmm. Caribbean landscape. So like a green, brushy kind mm-hmm. of space and then a really dark but bright light.
Did you ever go look at, because I'm always sort of fascinated when I go look at, say, somebody like a Bierstadt or, you know, even earlier, these sort of fantasy images of the Caribbean that are available, like at the National Gallery in London? Or did you ever go look at that and just scratch your head or feel that you had to actually correct it and be like, yeah, that's not really how it is, like, let me, because
yeah.
there are these sort of, again, these idealized, and sometimes they even look European. It's like they look European, but they just stick palm trees in them because they don't get the light right and they don't really understand the color of the ocean. Was that something that ever sort of challenged you in your practice?
Absolutely. And funnily enough, I was sitting in my studio at 9 a few weeks ago during spring break, and it was kind of a rainy day, so we had that kind of funny Bahamian spring rain, and I was reading the poetry of Shivani
mm-hmm. Shivani
Ramlakhan, which I'd bought at the National Gallery because I'd come to the National Gallery to look at the current show. I'd purchased the book. I was sitting on my couch reading this poetry by a Trinidadian poet who speaks, and it was about carnival, which, although we don't have the same kind of carnival, we have Junkanoo, so it had mm-hmm. this kind of similarities, which I was reading about in this kind of richness of culture. And I could hear, and I hear it all the time, the spring breakers on Junkanoo Beach. They had a hype man screaming like, come on, guys. And I swear to God, it was 11 in the morning. And I was thinking, I wonder if there's anywhere else in the world that has this strangeness of like the push together of culture, which if you're from here, you even 10 feet away from the spring breakers have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You're completely in a different world. Yeah. You know, you're reading something from the National Art Gallery, but you're aware of this existence that's happening like just in front of you.
And they think that's our existence.
Yeah. And I think, and I mean, I don't know if that's just worldwide and it's just very close here, but I think that's that same thing of the imagery where it's like, this just doesn't make any sense to the kind of space that I understand.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because I think we do kind of idealize a lot of places in the world. But I think we are more so because it's kind of like the only thing that we have, tourism in the landscape. And I think sort of other cultures are maybe understood a little bit, little deeper in like the layers that they have. Although probably, you know, again, I'm sure people have a very shallow idea of like what France is like based on the Eiffel Tower and French bread and berets.
yeah, maybe it's a worldwide phenomenon. Maybe.
Yeah, but it's true. I think here we do live very closely to these other realities that are quite far from our own reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And did you find a challenge at all, like living in the UK? I mean, the light obviously is something for a painter that, you know, how was it being there? And I mean, I also went to school there. So those endless gray days where you don't see the sun even at all for months.
I know.
Did that affect your
painting? So when I was there, I was looking at memory as I mean, I think this body of work is a lot about memory. So I do pull from actual imagery and I do use like a multitude of different kinds of things to make a painting, but the actual content was about this space, even though I was living there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it didn't really so much matter where I was painting. And then when I moved back here, it was actually more difficult because I kind of arrived here and then what was memory was reality. And there was this kind of funny, like moment of just how do I process what's actually in front of me rather than creating it. So what I do now is I still go
really
to memory.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting because, again, we do remember things in a different way than they actually are as well. And so sometimes to be confronted with the reality after you've, you know, it has this pattern of age or of romanticism or of trauma, you know what I mean? Like that you can overlay your memories with so many things that change them.
Absolutely.
That I can imagine coming and being here every day. It's like, oh.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so I was dealing with present, the kind of presence of the actual space in front of me. It was a really challenging moment. But, you know, I think then you realize like painting is actually just a series of memories kind of going down onto a space anyway, and it kind of worked itself out slowly.
Mm-hmm. So how long does it take you to finish? Do you work on many at one time? Do you work on one at a time? Like how do you?
No, I work on maybe one or two at a time. And in this show, there's a couple kinds of paintings. There's some that took months and months and months and months, and the buildup of like paint on the canvas sort of creates the image. And then there's maybe one or two that are a lot quicker. And so I will have drawn the image out a lot of times onto paper. And then when I go to create it, it'll only take maybe 48 hours, like two mm-hmm. full days of painting. Mm-hmm. And they have completely kind of different ways of painting those two works. And you kind of just, based on the image I'm working with, decide, okay, like I think that this requires some build up, some kind of waste of paint on the canvas, or mm-hmm. this is like something that I think would be better with some of the canvas coming through. So like that white translucence mm-hmm. sort of coming through the paint. And then I make that decision and go from there. So they're kind of very decisive, different mm-hmm. ways of working. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So we're hearing from Tessa Whitehead about her method, her approach to her paintings, which are fairly large scale. Actually, there's some tiny ones too, but generally they're pretty big. And we have an opening tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery between 7 and 10 p.m. And everybody's invited. And we're also opening another show at the same time. We're opening an homage to Chan Pratt, who passed away 11 years ago and is one of our most renowned landscape painters. And his son will be there. And it's a show in his memory. So both of those shows are opening. And it would be great to have all of you listening come out and celebrate with us. Celebrate Tessa, celebrate Chan Pratt. Meet the artists, only Tessa because Chan's not with us, and all the friends and relatives and art-loving people that we have. Tessa's cracking up because I said that. You know, listen, that's it. But you can meet DC, his wonderful son and his wife and the whole family of Chan if you come out tomorrow night. So please do that to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. We're going to go to a quick break and we'll have more from Tessa afterwards. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the executive director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this break.